Hello Gasheads, and welcome to the latest episode of Gascast. I'm your host Nino, and joining me this week, not from the sporty, but from the comfort of what is now a pretty subdued living room, is regular podder Kaz May. Hello Kaz.
Hello.
You sound miserable.
Why do you think?
The lesser spotted fan hub phenomenon that is Harley Thorne.
Hello. I'm in a bad mood now.
Okay, yeah. And, I mean, there's all this talk about Rovers having two Andersons and an Anderton, none of whom are available to come on the pod tonight, unfortunately. But thankfully, here at Gascast, we have our very own Poundland version. It is, of course, Mr. Max Alderson. Hello, Max.
Makes me feel really low value when you say that.
I know, it came out a lot harsher than it was meant to.
Poundland version.
Well, there you go.
Good evening.
Good evening.
You're our Waitrose, Anderson, I think.
Thank you.
Anyway, so, I mean, this whole script has been completely torn up basically by what we've just watched, because we were going to start by talking about Walsall and then move on to Sutton and then come on to tonight's game, because we were all anticipating a win. But after what we've just watched, we are going to start with the game against Oldham. Obviously, Rovers, quite heavy favourites going into it. We were third in the form table with four wins and two draws from our last six. Oldham, 18th, but they had kept four clean sheets in the last five. They were 23rd in the table, fighting to stay up. I think everyone kind of saw it as a must-win game. Max, we were shit.
Yeah, we were very, very poor tonight. And when you start, as we did, and just go a goal down inside 30 seconds, 40 seconds, whatever it was, the response needs to be there. I thought it was initially, maybe for the first 10 minutes after going a goal down, that we kind of, after that offside goal was ruled out for them, we kind of came back into it. We were doing quite a bit around their box and controlling the ball, but it pitted out as soon as that second goal went in at 2-0, and then managed to pull them back for half time. But second half, just nowhere near good enough, and it just looked to me today like we didn't have a game plan for this. We seemed to panic. We were being a bit flustered on the ball, rash with our decision making, and it did just feel you could tell, with half hour to go, that we weren't gonna get the equaliser, let alone a winner. So yeah, really poor on all fronts, I think.
Yeah, I mean, obviously there was a bit of a blow just before kickoff, because Connor Taylor was in the starting lineup initially, and then I think they said illness or something like that. He had to come out, and who came in for him? Connolly came in for him. So we had a back four of Hall, Connolly, Harries, and Anderton. Kaz, how much of an impact do you think that Taylor not being there had? Because Rovers looked dodgy at the back all night, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, he's easily our best centre-back. It's almost like we should have signed a centre-back in the transfer window for things like this. But, it's a shame. Obviously, that would have caused a bit of a hiccup, because that wasn't planned and that wasn't in Joey Barton's plans. However, you do expect, even with our best centre-back being out, who is only 19, that other players can step up and do the job, and they just didn't. And they were all a bomb scare, particularly Harry's. He was dreadful tonight. Every time he was on the ball, you just thought, they're in here. They're gonna do something. And before the game, I didn't see Oldham as a threatening side at all. And we just, we really made a fool of ourselves in defence today. And we didn't look like a team that are chasing the playoffs. I just thought it was a bit embarrassing, to be honest. One player shouldn't make a difference to the side. I don't know what Harries has done to earn a spot in that back line. I can't think of one thing he's done this season to earn that. I don't know if it's a bit of favouritism from Joe Barton. I don't know why he's even changed it, considering we're unbeaten in seven. Hopefully it's not too serious for Taylor. If it's an illness, then he might be back for Saturday. We desperately needed him tonight, because he is easily our best one. But I don't know if it would have made a difference with Harry's in that back line, because, like I said, he's just a bomb scare.
Yeah, so Harley, I looked earlier, you were last on a pod in pre-season. Mm-hmm. And I know you were very optimistic about how Rovers were going to do this season. I think, did you predict us for top?
Yeah, I mean, depending on if you can be bothered to edit it together, you could literally hear me saying that we were going to win the league.
So. I will be inserting that.
So yeah, I've literally been flirting with the idea of coming back on the pod for weeks, because I've been so tempted to come and rub everyone's faces in it that Joey's coming good and we're moving in the right direction. But the sad thing is, even with these games that we've won, and especially tonight, it's just this lack of the finishing touches on the squad. I think it's like Kaz said, the depth at centre back, I think, is the main thing. When you lose Taylor, you've just got nothing back there at all. It's worrying how little you've got there. But my main concern is with the forward line, really, because there's just so much talent throughout there. Something's just not quite there. Doesn't quite click. We don't make many chances for a team that has an insane amount of quality. Like, you look at the team, it just player for player, you can't fit every player you want in. And
well, I was looking the other day, and in terms of shots per game, we're 21st in the league in terms of how many shots we have in each match, which, like you said, considering we've got Nicholson, Thomas, Evans, you know, you could go on and on, Collins, that's just, it's not good enough. Like, it's not clicking. And I think you look back over, obviously Swindon, I thought, was a really good performance, but Scunthorpe, we obviously played well and then got pegged back at the end. And then, you know, the Walsall game, we won it, but it was a terrible game. Rovers no created chances. Hardly anything. Yeah. Sutton probably deserved to win. I mean, I didn't watch it, but if you look at the stats and I listened to it on the radio, it sounded like Sutton deserved to win. And obviously we got back into it with a late penalty. And then tonight, again, another really bad performance. Like, the performances aren't good.
Mm. I think we've had better performances earlier in the season when we were getting pumped in those games, to be honest. And it is worrying. I think the lack of the number nine at the moment with the injuries is having a bit of an impact. I think we're set up to have a number nine in the middle there, and without it, it's just gone wrong. I mean, it's typical because, what, like 3 weeks ago or at the Scunthorpe game, we had Loft and Clark fighting it out for the number nine, and I thought, typical, they've come back all at once, and now they're both out injured again. I mean, we just don't get luck in that way, do we? But I mean, I could kind of take that weakness if our defence was looking shit hot, but the difference is it just isn't. And the depth there, like Luca Hall, I single out Luca Hall, and I hate to do it because he's a youngster and I really want to see youngsters come through, but I just think going forward, he just destroys our play sometimes. Like, I think his final ball's really poor, and at centre back, I don't even need to say it, you know, like a Stokesy youngster is our best player and one of the best players in the league, and without him, it all goes to pot, really.
I just think Harries is a terrible, terrible player.
Yeah, I mean,
he was at fault for the first goal as well, wasn't he?
He flatters to deceive sometimes, because he looks technically quite good at times. He can do these long switches, which when they come off look brilliant. And there have been games where when we do keep a clean sheet or he doesn't do anything wrong, he looks really good. And I just don't know if it flatters to deceive or not, but he's got the kind of same thing of Jack Baldwin in that he's just got a mistake in him, which is just not a good trait for a centre back. You know, I can't really think of many mistakes Connor Taylor's made, if any, this season. Maybe one or two. But Harry's, you know, this is his first game in how long? Okay, maybe you can say he's a bit rusty, but he should be ready. He's a match fit player. He trains every week. He should be ready to come in and do a job. And less than 60 seconds into his first start in months, he goes and just completely misses a clearance and lets their player in on goal to score. It's shocking. I thought he had a terrible game. I thought Connolly was pretty poor as well. I think the two of them just looked completely shell-shocked by the Oldham forward, who ran them ragged for 90 minutes. He probably deserved a goal. And yeah, it was just a really poor defensive performance. And like you said, Harley, you know, we cannot expect to be a playoff-pushing side if we only have one good centre-back in the squad, and that one centre-back is a loney who's a teenager learning his trade. What does that say about the rest of the professional centre-backs we've got at the club? The recruitment in defence has been shocking. You know, Junior Brown at left-back, you know, the centre-back situation with Mark Hughes going to Plymouth and barely playing. You know, we've just not recruited in that area. At right-back, we have no one. We've had to bring in Luca Hall up from the youth development team and give him a go, which I'm happy to do. I like him. I think he's a good player. It's baffling to me that we didn't sign a defender other than Connolly in January. And like I said, you know, when Taylor's out, we just look lost at sea. And defensively, you know, you look at the likes of Tranmere, who have kept that insane amount of clean sheets, winning 1-0, 2-0, 1-0, 2-0 every week. That's how you get up there. You know, you cannot be leaking goals like we leak and expect to climb, because like you said, Harley, we just don't score enough. We don't create enough. And 21st shots in the league, if you can't defend, you know, you're not going to climb. And it's quite amazing that we're even in the top half, or we're in the top half for when you consider that data. And yeah, I think like you've all said, that result tonight just kind of takes the sparkle off the wins of the last few weeks and makes you think, actually, was it as good as it looked, or were we all just kind of trying to ride the wave of momentum that was being generated and seeing how far it could take us and getting carried away a little bit? You know, we even talked about playoffs last episode, whereas now I'm kind of thinking, yeah, well, you know, I was saying how I didn't want to get hurt and how I didn't want to believe it. This is why, because Rovers consistently do this to us.
So let's, I just want to go back to the start and talk about the start in 11, because I think when we all saw it come out an hour before kickoff, we were probably quite surprised at the amount of changes. And then we kind of thought, well, we have got quite a packed schedule, so maybe he's trying to rest a few and rotate, which kind of makes sense. And then even with about 15, 20 minutes played, I don't think any of us could actually work out what the formation was. And then, I mean, I still don't really know, but I think we started with a midfield diamond with Anderson, Coutts, Finlay, and then Evans behind Collins and Saunders up front. And it was a formation, I don't think we've played that at all this season. So we went into this game, a game at a club who, yeah, they're down there, but you could tell from how they played. They're quite confident. They've just got a new manager and there's a bit of a buzz there. The atmosphere looked cracking, to be fair to them. They made a real good noise. So not only did he go into a tough game making loads of changes, but also it was a completely different formation. It just felt like it was a bit all over the place.
Yeah, I mean, I remember looking at the lineup when it came out and there was a couple that I could understand, like Finlay and Elliot Anderson. Anderson had a great debut game on the weekend, so it made sense for him to start. But now I'm sort of looking at how he played today and he looked a different player to what he did against Sutton, to be honest. So maybe we should have kept him as a sub. I wonder if it's a bit of arrogance from Joey Barton that he's looked at it and gone, oh, it's only Oldham. They're 23rd. They're fighting for their lives. So I'm going to mix it up a bit. Makes sense to rest players if we've got a packed fixture list coming up. But at the same time, we're unbeaten in 7. Why change it? If you've got the players that have that momentum, just keep it going. Harry's, like I said earlier, don't understand why he came back in the side and he's not proven himself tonight at all. So yeah, I don't understand it, to be honest. I don't know why Joey's done that. I don't understand the difference in formation. I don't understand if Evans had a knock, which he quite clearly did after Sutton because he was limping off. Why did we play him only to have to bring him off again for Nicholson? And then with Nicholson and Thomas, I would expect dropping one, but dropping both. I think they've both been pretty good players and quite important in attacking. So I don't understand dropping them both. Yeah, didn't make much sense. And obviously it was very poor to let, and they all just looked completely lost. Not what they're used to. So yeah, if you could change it back to the way it was for Mansfield, that'd be great.
I don't know. It just felt to me like we had so many players in the middle doing this, well, trying to do the same sort of thing. And then there was no real width. And then the only width there was Hall on the right and Anderson on the left. And as we've already touched on with Hall, his end product's not really great. Anderton isn't the sort of fullback who's going to get down the wing and get really good delivery into the box. And then you had Collins and Saunders up front who weren't really getting any service other than it just getting lumped up to him, which doesn't suit either of them. And I just don't know, what were we trying to do? I just don't understand.
Saunders was just non-existent in the first half. And that's not an insult to him. He's just not getting any of the ball. Like the ball's just not getting to him. And the formation, like you say, you spend half the game wondering what the hell we're doing.
Well, he brought Nicholson on, put him in where Evans was playing, which I think was just behind the strikers. And then within about 10 minutes of doing that, he realised that wasn't working. And then put Nicholson and Saunders out wide of Collins, sort of in a 4-3-3, I guess. And then I think the performance did improve then between whatever minute he did that in, say 30-odd and half time. And we obviously got our goal then. Yeah, just what did you make of the sort of cohesion of the team and how we were playing,
There was no real cohesion at all. It felt, particularly in that second half, like he was just trying to throw on all of his good players. He didn't care where they were, just have them all on the pitch in that final third and hope something just came off. You know, like you said, just trying 3 or 4 different systems. You know, Nicholson at CAM, yeah, he scored, not really his natural position. You know, Harry Anderson came on and looked bright on the left, which he doesn't usually play on the left. He's usually right wing back. It's just chucking forward players on in forward positions and expecting miracles to happen. Yeah, if it had come off, we all would have said, yeah, what a great substitution to bring on Thomas or to bring on Anderson or whoever. But it hasn't come off and it's looked really silly because you could tell that last 20 minutes that we had no structure and no shape. And every time that we lost the ball and Oldham cleared it up the pitch, we were struggling so much to get the ball back up to that final third because everyone was so out of position. You had like three at the back and then Coutts kind of sitting. So Coutts was coming deep to try and pick it up off of Harries or Connolly, and he would turn and there would be about two or three centre mids closing him down. And then everyone else was either on the wings or in and around the box, not coming short and trying to build an attack. And there was no passages of play. There was no transitional play beyond trying to launch it or make a switch over to an opposite winger to try and get to the byline. It was just desperate stuff, really desperate. And, you know, I would have much rather us just, instead of throwing all these attackers on, just stick with a system which is structured and let the formation do the work rather than hoping the players will do the work. It just felt like, you know, when you get a 6-year-old and you give them FIFA and they sign Messi, Ronaldo, Mbappe, Rashford and
I was not 6-year-old when I was doing that.
And just putting
I think I was about 19 when I was doing that.
And just playing like 2-2-1-8, you know? That's what it just felt like. And it just looked ridiculous. And Oldham comfortably dealt with it for the last 20 minutes.
Yeah, it was very much like we've run out of ideas here, so we're just going to chuck every attacker we have on the pitch and just whack them up front and see what happens, wasn't it? Like, try and wait for a moment of quality. There was no... The patterns of play and everything had gone. They were just trying to... He was just relying on someone like Thomas getting it, cutting inside and whacking in the top corner, basically. There was nothing we were actually trying to do.
Yeah.
And also, when they were like all out of position, the communication wasn't great either. There was a moment where we were on the attack and the ball sort of went stray and then... No one, I think it was Collins and someone else, and they both just left it. And there was no, oh, who's going for it? And it just looked a bit of a mess, to be honest.
Yeah. Harley, I guess the problem is now, you know, the Sutton away point, I guess you can kind of look at it and say with their league position and their recent form, you can kind of, I think we all came away from that, especially how we played, thinking, okay, that's a decent point. But then you lose tonight, you then go into a Mansfield game, which we're going to come on and preview in a minute. But that's obviously a really tough game with their form. And, you know, even if we get a point out of that, which probably isn't a bad point, but that would then only be 2 points out of the last three games. And suddenly you're looking way off the kind of form we need to get in those playoffs.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, I've always been blown away by how close we are to the playoffs, given how bad we were for so much of this season. It's almost like no one in this league has really put together any meaningful form to create much of a gap. But one of the teams that are at the moment is Mansfield, because they're just on flames. I think I saw earlier they were the form team in the country by some way.
12 wins in 14 now,
yeah.
I think.
So, I mean, it's, you know, as a fan, you kind of have to look at this next game with a pinch of salt, you know? Like, it would be a big statement if we got anything off them, really, because they are absolutely flying. But yeah, on your point, you can't really afford to be dropping points to opposition like Oldham at this stage of the season when you're trying to make up ground. But there are plenty of games to go. I mean, I remember under DC, like near the end of the season, I think Stevenage was one of the main ones where we dropped points away at Stevenage and you just thought, well, we're never going to catch up now. You haven't got enough time, you know, and fact is, we have got a lot of time still, and no one else is really making a charge for it. So I think we've got room for a few errors. Feels bad at the time. Don't get me wrong, it sucks right now, but might be a little kick up the ass.
Beat Mansfield, we'll forget about this tonight. So.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, if we beat Mansfield. True.
No, if we beat Mansfield, I'd be even more angry about this, because it'd just be like, I think if we bloody beat Oldham, we'd be doing even better. Yeah. But no, I don't think we can afford to lose games like this, because this is exactly, these are the games you need to win. Because now we do have to go beat Mansfield, like you've said. And you know, I know you say there's plenty of time left, but as I said on the last episode, we're so far behind in terms of, you know, it may only look like, you know, 5 to 8 points, but you've got to surpass the form of those in the playoffs to catch them. And every time we have a slip up like this, that gap just grows again. So we need to consistently be doing better than they're doing to catch them. And we don't have room for slip-ups like this anymore. You know, we've done enough of that in the early season. You know, come May, I think we're really going to be ruining these, you know, the likes of Salford away and Oldham away where we were, and when we should have won. And I don't think between now and the end of the season we can afford to drop points to any of the bottom six if we're serious about playoffs. Really can't.
Kind of feels like we've got depth in the wrong areas of the squad. It's like,
yeah, definitely.
We've got so many attacking midfielders, but then no depth at all at centre back, no depth at all up front in the number nine position at least.
We look at the three number nines he signed. The first one was Pittman, who is not a nine, first of all, but he's the player he wanted to build the squad around. He said he was going to be League Two's Charlie Austin, is what he said.
Yeah. I missed that.
Yeah, he said he'd be our Charlie Austin. And he's gone.
He's got rid of him. Yeah.
Leon Clark, okay, had the fates been different, maybe he would have been a phenomenal player for us this season. His goals to minutes ratio is pretty impressive. But the fact of the matter is the bloke is 36 and he's crocked. And
what about his injuries to minute ratio? Yeah,
Yeah. So he can't stay fit. So bad signing because, you know, he's
Trevor.
The wage we pay him per minutes played is we're not getting our money's worth. And then Loft, who played one game and then he's vanished. Verdict's out on him, I'll be honest, but the recruitment around the number nine position has just not been good because, you know, out of those three players, Pittman's played the most and he's been dreadful. And the other two have just barely played at all. So we've played largely, I know people keep saying we play strikerless. I don't think we do because Collins is a striker and we played him up front for most of the season. So it, as opposed to strikerless, it's more just like number nineless, I guess, for most of the season. Yeah.
Toothless. That's a good one.
Yeah. So the recruitment up front has been poor. In midfield, the recruitment's been good, but you have to have a whole team. It's no good having a really good midfield if your defence is shocking. And it's no good having a good midfield if you can't hold the ball up and lay it off to them. Because like today, they all just look lost and not, there was no interchangeability or chemistry between any of them out there today.
It's like the Elliot Anderson, I think, he did come on and look really bright in his debut at Sutton. And you could kind of tell from the way that Joey was talking about him that he was just desperate to get him in the team. And it was almost like tonight, he just crowbarred him into the team at the expense of all balance of the rest of the side. He was just like, I need to get this guy in, so I'm just going to play him with every other midfielder we've got and take out our two wingers. And it's just frustrating. Let's look ahead to Saturday then.
If we have to.
So Mansfield, as we've already said, form team in world football, think they won again tonight, did they? Beat someone 3-1?
Colchester.
Yeah, won again tonight. I mean, yeah, Kaz, do we need to win that now after we've lost tonight? Well,
it's a lot of pressure to win that one. If we do, like I said earlier, despite what Max said, I know we'd be really annoyed that we didn't beat Oldham tonight, but it will be a huge result if we win on Saturday. And hey, they got to mess up their form at some point. You can't keep winning all the time. Even the best teams in the world don't win every game. So, you know, maybe it's time, but I think we need to look at what our strongest side has been in the last 8 games, where we've been unbeaten, and we need to play that. I know we want to give Elliot Anderson a start. I know that we want to play Finley, but maybe we just need to sit back and look and see actually where are our strengths and not have everyone playing on top of each other like they were tonight. Maybe we could get some out of it. Maybe the way we play, which is a lot of possession play, pass along the floor, a team like Oldham tonight, they're very bulky and they were very hard to break down, and sometimes you have to just resort to the basics against a team like Oldham. But Mansfield, if they play a little better, maybe we can do something against them. So you never know. It might be a well-matched game. It might be actually quite fast-paced and not very clunky because Mansfield are a good side. So hopefully with the quality that we've got in the side, we can actually put on a good performance against them. I'm not holding my breath for it at all. But maybe being typical Bristol Rovers, can't beat Oldham, but we can go and get a result against Mansfield. We just got to go out and just do our very best against them because we need to get back on form after tonight's shambles and get that confidence back in us.
Yeah, Harley, what's your feeling going into the weekend? I'm guessing not very good as we sit here right now, but
I literally just went on my phone and looked at the table whilst you were talking, Kaz, and just got so upset looking at the opportunity that's just been missed. It's just, yeah, we need to get back on track with this, don't we? And you just can't, I just can't realistically go in there expecting anything because they're just on absolute flames. But we'll go into it, play our game. Like Kaz says, maybe it'll be two teams trying to play football and maybe that will actually help. But I remember the first day of the season and I thought they were shite in that as well. We both were really crap in that game. So they've come a long way. We've come a long way. They're looking a bit more consistent, but we just had our form ended. So
12 wins in 14.
Yeah, no, to be fair, yeah, it's a little bit better. Let's just be the ones that end it, I think. Someone's got to.
We can't fear anyone in this league. That's the thing. If you want to go up, you can't fear anyone. We can't be looking at Mansfield and going, oh, they've won 12 in the last 14. Oh, like, we're not good enough. We've got to go in there with the mentality that we can beat them. Because if we don't have that mentality, which is so important in football, then we're not going to get the playoffs. Simple as that, really.
Agreed.
Would you look at starting Harry Anderson on Saturday? Because I think he came on tonight, looked really good. He's pacey. I think he looked better on the left than he has on the right all season, really. Would you look at bringing him in, maybe starting Thomas again? Because I thought he looked bright when he came on tonight. I don't know, he's got to do something different than how he started the game tonight.
The thing is with Anderson is that he's probably our best player at taking on another man, I think, one-on-one. And yet he's been farmed out at right wing back all season. And Lincoln fan said that he's a brilliant winger at League One level. He's a fantastic winger at League Two level. And he's just not played wing, I don't think. Maybe bar one or two games at the start of the season. First game of the season, yeah, away at Mansfield. But he's just not played there. And I think that's because we've got Nicholson, Thomas, Collins, Saunders. He likes to play Saunders out wide and Collins out wide. So I think it's just because we have so many options there that Anderson's kind of been shoehorned in at right wing back. I don't think he's done badly. He's just probably been average there. It's not his position, really. He's not kind of got the kind of effectiveness that Rodman has there cutting inside. And I would just really like to see him further forward. Yeah, I'd like to see him in a front three. I would like to actually see wingers in that front three as opposed to like inside forwards and strikers playing there. Because like I said about tonight, we just pack the box and just, but we don't get any balls in there. And when we do, we don't have anyone with a physical presence to get on the end of it. I would actually like us to see, you know, wingers who can beat a man, get to the byline, drag it back, just like we did for the goal today. Brilliant play to drag it back. Dummied it from Saunders, left it for Nicholson at the far post. Nice finish. Stuff like that is what we're good at. And we just don't make the most of the players we've got.
We put in one cross against Sutton all game.
Yeah. We're not a crossing team at all. And I think back to the Daryl Clark days, and all we did was cross. And if a winger couldn't beat his man, there was Lee Brown for the layback and the deep cross. And we would score so many goals from doing that. And the good teams do in this league. Forest Green score a hell of a lot of goals from crosses. I know they play wing backs, but, you know, and I'm not saying we've got a player like Kane Wilson, but like they've got some brilliant wing backs who just whip crosses into the far post, and Jamil Matt has an absolute field day. They are the blueprint. And I know we play 3-4-3 a lot this season, but even when we do, we've just not got balls into the area at all. And when we try and play through the middle, sometimes we look all right, but it makes us too one-dimensional. Like tonight, we were just too easy to play against because they knew what we were going to do, and it was easy to defend against because we had no alternative. So we need to mix it up. Yeah, I'd give Anderson a go for sure.
Won the penalty against Sutton as well, didn't he? And he did very well to win that. So I like that he runs at players, and I just like that he runs. He just looks a bit of a threat.
Okay, so let's do some score predictions then. So we'll start with you, Kaz.
For Saturday?
Yeah.
That's cruel. I want to be optimistic, but what's the point?
What's the point?
Can I not sleep on it? Sleep on tonight's dross performance and then give you one? Oh,
that's
I just
the problem
think
with doing it like quite fresh is that we're all still
I'm angry and I'm disappointed and cross. Yeah.
I feel like this pod is going to be a lot more downbeat than it would be probably if we did it 24 hours later.
Yeah.
The iTunes ratings are going to take a pump.
Oh.
all right. I'm going to go with... I'm going to go with 1-1. I don't even believe it. I don't know why I'm saying it.
I'm not sure you can make a prediction that you outwardly say you don't believe it.
I think give me a couple of days and I start getting optimistic again. So I'm just predicting my future self after I've calmed down and slept on it and thought, you know, actually it's going to be all right. So, and like I said earlier, I think we're going to match each other. I think it's going to be a good game of football.
So I do think we play better against sides who are better, if that makes sense.
I aggressively disagree.
Okay. put your case forward.
I think Port Vale pretty confidently won at the Mem. Newport.
Didn't we have 9 men, though?
Yeah, Port Vale was a bit of an outlier.
Well, Newport at home.
Yeah, that was
Leighton Orient at home.
That was bad.
Actually, why don't you scroll down on the schedule and read the tweet I put in?
I think I've deleted it.
You've deleted it?
Yeah, I've deleted it.
Why did you delete it?
What was it roughly?
He skips the point here.
It was from Dave Wilcox, and he put, will we ever beat a team in the top half? We've only beaten one team in the top half this season.
See, that is true.
So yeah. How can you say we play better against better teams?
Because I think we played better against Swindon than we have against, well, definitely tonight, but also against people like, what are the recent games, Walsall and Scunthorpe. And
can you give us
we won
example?
Those games.
I know, but I think we played better.
Like, we lost the other games.
Salford away. Salford are, what are they, top 10?
Yes, and but they were 19th when we played them.
All right, well, I feel like my point's been completely destroyed, but...
You're welcome.
Finish it.
But I think that we'll play better tonight. Better than we did tonight, sorry, on Saturday. But I still think we'll lose. Yeah. Have I got a score prediction for anyone other than Kaz yet?
No, sorry, we went on a bit of a tangent. No,
okay,
no,
Harley, what's your score prediction for Saturday?
1-0 loss. Do you need me to explain that? You looked at me as if you wanted more.
You can explain it if you want.
No, I mean, we're just going to lose.
Right. Okay.
We're just going to lose, unfortunately, because they're quite good and we're not that good.
Okay. Max, what's your score prediction?
3-1 Mansfield. Seems to be a popular scoreline to lose by at the Mem to top six sides. we tend to either go 1-0 up and lose 3-1 or, you know, get a consolation. So, yeah, 3-1. I think they're just going to have too much for us. I think they're, you know... Like you said, they're in absolutely phenomenal form, and I it would take something special for us to turn it around. And yeah, we haven't done it against top sides this season, so I'm not seeing it. I'm not seeing the evidence there that it's going to change. I'm not going to put it into blind faith. I'm going to go on what evidence we've got on the table, and that is that we just aren't on that standard. So yeah, I think we'll get beat. Love to be proven wrong.
Okay,
what about you?
I think that we will lose 2-0.
See, this is why I'm on the pod, because I bring the positivity. You know, if everyone's feeling a bit down, at least I'm here.
You said you didn't believe what you were saying.
Well, shh, Max.
You need to be more convincing.
I told you in 2 days I'll believe it. Just right now, it's just a little bit sore from tonight, okay?
All right, well...
That was positive. And
do we want to talk about the January window, or do we not?
I really like the signing of Nolan.
I forgot about him.
Oh, yeah.
We just need another centre.
I'll just briefly touch on
him. Where is he?
The reason injured. I like it...
he's not played a game in over a year.
Great.
For anyone.
The reason I like the signing is because it actually shows a bit of forward thinking, because I don't think it's a signing for now, it's a signing for next season.
If you lose Evans, right?
No, I think it's for Whelan.
All right.
Because Whelan is pretty evident Whelan's going to retire and become a coach. If he hasn't done that already, because where is he? Has he even been in the matchday squad?
Oh, he was on the bench.
Tonight. Oh, was he? Okay.
Yeah. Apparently his son was playing for Oldham.
Yeah, he wasn't his son. No, it was just another person called Whelan.
I can't believe I believed that.
I believed it.
And I think it just shows a bit of succession, which is needed at football clubs. And, you know, when we're going to have a contingency plan for when Evans goes as well. But I quite like the Nolan signing. The only thing I'm worried about is that maybe it was at the expense of getting in another position. And if it was at the expense of getting in a centre-back, then maybe it's not so good. That said, I don't think we're good enough for playoffs anyway, so it's probably better to plan for next season than maybe just have a Hail Mary and then end up with absolutely no one in the summer, which is not good. It's good to kind of plan ahead for next season, I think, and keep one eye on the next campaign. And I think Nolan's a good pickup. I think I was really surprised that we got him. I really like him as a player, and if we can keep him fit, I think he's going to be really good.
I would like you to give me a grade on the window. So like a school grade, so A star, best window ever, F.
We know what the... Why are you explaining this to us?
We know what...
I'm confused. I looked at Max and he was like...
I was thinking about what letter I was going
to... Oh, okay, all right.
Of course I know what an A star is.
All right, well...
I think everyone in this country goes through this education system, do they not?
Max looked baffled, that's all I'm saying.
I was thinking about what grade to give it. All right. Probably a C. Okay. I think other than Nolan, it's been shocking. And Nolan's probably not even going to play this season. So, yeah, pretty poor. I mean, Loft, pretty average for centre forward to sign. Connolly, pretty average, covers a little bit of depth. And then Anderson, unknown quantity. Yeah, like I've just said, I like the Nolan signing. But if we're rating it purely on the impact of between now and the end of the season, then probably an E or a D. I just don't think we've signed what we needed in enough quality if we were serious about playoffs.
Kaz, let's have your grade. Do you need me to explain the grading system again? Or are you all right?
Do I look confused or am I?
Not confused.
Yeah, D, I think. So what have we had? Connolly, who was just chucked on the bus last minute. He's not been great. He had a good debut game against Peterborough, but other than that, he's not really done a lot. Anderson is great. Newcastle fans rate him very, very highly, so that's good. And then Loft, I am not sold on at all. Is there anyone I'm missing? Nolan, well, haven't seen him. and doesn't sound like I'm going to see him until next season. So, yeah, I just don't think it's been a window of players that are going to get us out of League Two. And that's what we wanted to. I can't do another season in League Two. I don't know about you guys. I was hoping that we would come straight back. I don't know if that's arrogance, but yeah, D for me.
What about you, Harley?
Yeah, I'm D as well. I think we started the window well with Loft, and I don't even think it needs to be that good a number nine. I just think we needed a big man, and I think he had an impact just by being there.
So I think he'd have made a difference tonight just by being tall.
And I think a lot of the stuff we've spoke about today with the style of play and stuff is the fact that, like we're talking lack of wing and width and crosses and stuff. It's like the second we haven't got a number nine, it's like we're just trying to play through the middle because we just can't. We know that the players in the middle aren't going to win anything. So I think we need a number nine. Joey made it very clear we needed a number nine. We got one very quickly in the window. Typically, he's bloody got injured, which is baffling because it sounds like he wasn't injured ever this season. So the hallowed turf of the quarter strikes again. But I think that was a good bit of business, quite quick. Surprised us all, I think, with how quick we acted, really. Then everything else just went to pot, I think. Like, I think we should have got a fullback of some type, a centre-back, a...
I think we've been hamstrung by our summer recruitment. Like the signings of like Pittman, Leon Clark, Brown, Hughes. I know Hughes is off the wage bill now, but it's just like we've taken up so much wage on players who just haven't either been good enough or been used at all.
Trevor Clark just sat.
Yeah, Sean Spence, we pay a percentage of his wage and he never plays. Like, why is he here? If he's not going to play, why is he here? He doesn't even come off the bench anymore. Send him back.
Some good moments, to be fair, probably were.
Yeah, but like, the Oxford Cup. But then we've never used him since. So it's like, what's the point in having him? So there's just probably so much wage that's been taken up by players who are either one, injured, two, not playing, three, not good enough. Left back, we've got Anderson and that's it. Right back, we've got Luca Hull and that's it. It's like, and neither of those are really good enough to be top half playoffs in this division. So
Joel Grant turns up occasionally when he can be bothered to be fit.
Yeah, and it is, I think, yeah, you know, we just got to wipe the slate clean at the end of the season, but a lot of them are out of contract anyway, and try and actually build a more balanced squad because it's just so attacking midfield heavy and not a lot else.
All right, well, let's wrap it up there because I think we are all fed up of talking about Rovers anymore. So, yeah, the only last thing I'm going to say is that I'm going to completely abuse my power of hosting this podcast by saying that if anyone has any spare Newport tickets, which there may be loads going after tonight, yeah, there's four in this room, I think. But
I ain't got one.
Oh, Harley doesn't have a ticket.
No, I didn't even get one.
Do you want one?
You can have mine.
Well, are they going, are they?
Well, my dad wants four. Because he's on a minibus. He's on a minibus that's full, and four people on there don't have tickets.
I see. Well, I'm first in that line, unfortunately, for being a guest on the podcast, I think.
Oh, okay. Well,
have you checked with your dad after tonight that he still wants it? Yeah, because
no, he does. He texted me before saying you've got to do the ticket shout out. So I'm doing it. So he's going
to
listen.
Watch their mine, I'm afraid, first. You can get second to fifth show, yeah.
Basically, if anyone has any spare Newport tickets, send them our way, and my dad and Harley will fight to the death for them.
He's a lot taller than me, so I don't fancy that fight, to be honest.
He would have you.
Yeah, and definitely would. I think he'd have most people.
All right, well, that'll give Roger's ego a good boost. Anyway, thank you for listening. Sorry if it was utterly depressing, which I imagine it was. This is probably why we shouldn't record straight after a game, although in our defense we thought it was going to be a win. But there we are, classic Rovers, can't rely on them. So yes, thank you for listening, thank you for the questions. I didn't get round to many of them.
I don't think I got around to any of them.
I was trying to soften it a bit, but all right. I didn't ask any of your questions.
Thanks for the questions, but yeah, we didn't ask them. Yeah. It's a sod off.
Some of them have been saved because they're more looking into the future ones, like who do you want in the playoff final, which I didn't feel like was appropriate right now, all right? But no, some of them have been saved to ask in future episodes. And we will speak to you in a couple of weeks' time. Up the gas.
Up the gas.
Up the gas.
Up the gas.